We're gonna understand it one day, we done.
We don't understand what's going on today within our lives, but one day we're gonna understand each and every part of it. We're gonna understand why people are doing the things that they're doing. But I believe that there's still some people like that still gonna get saved. I believe it's still the Lord's is gonna allow us to be able to have a little part in that also. And I do thank him, I tell you. Let's turn to the book of Revelations tonight, chapter 19. The book of Revelations, chapter 19. All righty. Let's start reading with verse 1. Down through verse 10. All right. Revelations chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For truth and righteousness, true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore, which did according, which did corrupt. Excuse me, let me go back and start that verse again. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servant at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of a many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called upon unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, that have the testimony of Jesus worshiped God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reading of thy word tonight. Father, we thank you for the service that we've had this day so far. And Father, we thank you for being with us. And Lord, and allowing us to be back in your house tonight. Father, we do thank you that you give each one of us the strength and the encouragement to be here.
Now, Lord, I pray, Father, now that you would be with me. And Father, help me, Lord, that I may be able to bring this message out. Father, where people can get a little nugget from it. And Father, that it can help them alone each and every day this week. We want to thank you and we want to love you more than we ever have before. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. I want to go back and I want to look at a verse of scripture that where we've just read. But I want to, it's in verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I want to look at that last phrase that I am. And his wife hath made herself ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord just like you are today? Are you ready to meet him just like you are tonight? Is there anything in your life is undone that you know that you need to go and do something about it before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there someone that you need to go and you need to apologize to? Is there someone that you need to go to and to say that I'm sorry? Is there someone that you need to go to and look to them and say, I'm sorry that I've never asked you and I've never given you the testimony of my life? I'm sorry that I've never told you about the one that I love more than I love myself. And that's the name of Jesus. Is that something that's undone? Is that something that you need to do? Are you ready to do it? We need to get ready because we do not know what we're going to come up and face with this coming week. We do not know who we're going to face as soon as we leave this church tonight. We don't know who we're going to face from the time that we get in the automobile and pull out on the highway. We don't know who we're going to face going home. But he does. He knows exactly what is ahead of us. And we don't have to worry about backing up. We don't have to worry about looking backwards. We need to look forward. But I want to bring a message on this thought. The kind of wife that Christ wants his wife to be. Now, I know that each one of us, and it says down here in verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, which is us, the ones that's been born again, the one that's been saved by the grace of God. We're the wife that he's speaking about right here that has made herself ready. Have we made ourselves ready to the point that we don't have to worry about if we have anything that's undone? That we know that everything that we have done is correctly. I know it may be some things that we're going to forget about because we're human. We can't think of everything. And we can't remember everything. But thanks be to God. He can remember things. He can think about the things that we've done in the past that we have not asked for forgiveness for. But he will allow the Holy Spirit in a time to bring it back to where we can ask the Father to forgive us. Because, you know, I got to thinking about here the other day. You know, why? Why don't we carry the Word of God with us anymore? Why don't we carry the Bible with us anymore as we go out and visit? You know why? Because I think and I believe that we've got to the point in our Christian life that we think that we know it all. But we don't know it all. I don't know nothing. Though every time I get here and read the Word of God, I come to find out the least I know. the least I know, and the dumbest that I get, because it's so simple. And it has the one right there, but sometimes I just don't ask for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to teach me and what the Word of God is saying. That's not your fault. That's not God's fault. That's not the Lord's fault. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That is Donald Mahan's fault, because I did not ask. And I did not seek, and I did not knock. We've got to ask, and we've got to seek, and we've got to knock after the things that we know of that is right. You know, these individuals that pray, and they'll come up and they'll say, well, and you'll talk to them and you'll ask them, say, are you saved? Do you know when you got saved and that? They say, yeah. They said, well, preacher, just pray for me. Just pray that I get back in church. There's some things that you don't have to pray for. And that's one of them. You don't have to pray that God will allow you to get back in church, because that's God's will. God's will is for you to serve Him and for me to serve Him. We need to be glad. You know, we don't use the word anymore. We don't use the word gay anymore. Why? Because we're scared that we are going to offend somebody. And we think it is talking about something else. It's not talking about nothing else, but when we're glad, that means we're happy. We're happy in what we believe, and we're happy and we trust in what we believe in. That's what glad is mean. That's what the gays mean. It means that I'm happy and I don't mind showing it. But see, they label all these things I hear upon people that is so corrupt and so off a wall, is pitiful. They will take it and they will use another word and replace the word that the Bible has for it. They talk about the gays, that we can't use the word gay anymore, because of, they say, the gays' rights. Well, I'll tell you something. I am gay. I am gay, and I'm gay rights. I'm not a sodomite. That's what they are. They're sodomites. It's abomination unto God. It's abomination unto Him and unto His Word. And we are so scared to call it what it is. We're so scared that we are going to offend somebody. That's the reason I believe that the churches has got any shape it's in. It's because we're so scared that we're going to offend somebody. I'm not offending nobody. I just repeated what God had said. Over right at 4,000, a little over 4,000 years ago. God said that. I did not just come up with it. But see, they don't want to use that. They know what it means. And they'll get mad at you. And they'll get really upset with you if you call it that. But you can say gay and gay rights and all of that. They don't think anything about it no more. Why? Because they know that we won't say it like God said it. Only thing God wants for them is the life that He created. And yes, He created their life. He created mine. He created yours. But he created us, what? In the likeness of him and his son, Jesus. We are created into the likeness of the Father and the likeness of the Son. That's what we're created for. That's the reason he created me. He didn't create me to go out here and to me to get into sodomy and to be a drunkard and be a fornication, be somebody that I'm not. He created me to where he could have fellowship with me. But see, that was 30 years of my life. I couldn't have fellowship with him. Why? I didn't know him. But he wanted to know me. That's the reason God came where I was. I didn't go to God. He came where I was. And he come where you was at. Whether it was in church, at home, or work, or wherever. He came where you was at. And I thank God for that. I thank God that now that I can look in the Word of God and I can see what he's talking about, the wife here. Now you go and you if you have some people come in that's not saved, and if I read this scripture right here, and if I come back and I read the title to it, the kind of wife that Christ wants his wife to be. You know what they're going to think? They're going to think, so, well, this is what my wife is supposed to be. This is what she is supposed to be according to the Word of God. It's just not to the wife. Physically speaking, it is also speaking of the spouse, also of the physical. It's speaking of us, speaking of me too. I have to be just like him. That's the reason when we come and we get married, we come in agreement together and we make one union. That's what this ring is all about. It's a circle. It has no split in it. It has no something out of it. It's a circle. It's a circle where that I have to live the life before Jesus Christ. And my wife, she has to live the same life towards Jesus Christ. And we must agree together. If we think it's right or wrong, we must agree together. And I sure am thankful that I guess that we got married when we did. Because today, what do you do today? Now they got the idea. They say, well, me and my boy said, Mama, Daddy, me and my boyfriend, we're gonna live together for 6 months, maybe 12 months. See how compatible we are. And see if we can get along. If we can get along in 12 months, and if we're compatible enough, then we'll get married. And then they want to come, and they want to have the wedding. And so when she comes down, and when she walks down the aisle, she wants to be dressed out in a white gown. That's wrong. That's wrong. Why? Because everything that they've done has been wrong according to God. And when they come forth and when they stand before the preacher, what do? They not only stand before the preacher, but they stand before God. They do not stand before no municipality judge. They do not stand between right here and say, well, You come on down and I'll marry you. I'm a judge and I'm a clerk of court or something like that. I have the right. I can marry you. That's a marriage that man has made. That's the reason. You don't hear me. When was the last time that you really heard of wedding? I mean a true wedding. Been a long time since I have. I've heard of people getting married. Yeah, they got married after they didn't live together for 6 months. See if they was compatible enough. But see, they're not compatible. It don't make no difference. They can live together for 12 months. They can live together for 10 years. And within 10 years' time, they will still not be compatible enough. Why? Because they don't have that bond. They don't have that connection that they have. They just don't have it like God intended for them to have the connection. And then you have these individuals, you have these couples says, well, I'm gonna marry him. I'm in church. I'm faithful to church. I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm in all the revival. I even play the piano at church. I even sing at church. We go get married. As soon as we get married, I get him in church. I get him in church. Uh-uh. Most likely, the unchurched is going to get the churched out. And it's going to end up trying to get the church out of our life. They're going to try everything that they can, and they're going to get God out of their life. Then they're going to start missing church. They're going to start missing the blessings of God. The wife that loves her husband. Speaking about the wife, the Christian, that loves the Father. That loves Him. That they will not do anything at all for him to be ashamed of you. John chapter 21 and verse 15 says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Simon Peter, do you love me more than the people that you hang around with? Do you? Faith Baptist Church, do you love the people here at, do you love Faith Baptist Church and the people that's there more than you do me? He has to be number one in our life. He has to be number one, because if he's not number one in our life, then Faith Baptist Church is going to eventually come cease to be Faith Baptist Church. It's going to be, it's going to come to a point that it will be no more church. It will be no more where the body of Christ can come together, because we'll allow everything else to come in. I can take you right to churches tonight. And I could have took you to churches Saturday night also. That yet that they was having
a New Year's Eve service. But you know what they was doing? They had went out here and rented a great big old screen where they could see what's happening in New York City. Right here in the city of Danville, I can take you within the next probably 30 days or when the Super Bowl begins on that night, Sunday night, I can take you to the church that they're going to have a great big old screen there. And they're going to say, well, we in church tonight. We had church last night. What did you do? You hooped and you hollered. Who did you hoop and you hollered over? You hooped and hollered over that man that run down the field with that ball hole in a hand. But you will not hoop. And you will not holler, and you will not say amen because of the one that created us went to Calvary. You won't go to him and you won't say, God, we love you. Keep on, you keep on doing it. You keep on speaking to my heart. Mm-mm. They don't love God. They love the things that God has allowed man to create. They love things more than they do the Creator. And if we don't watch it, and if I don't watch it, I can get caught up in the same way. I can get caught up in the same way that I love the things that God has allowed someone else to be able to take the knowledge that they have and be able to create something. I can get to the point to where I can worship that more than I can God. We don't need to worship other things. We need to worship God. We need to worship God, and after we worship God, then we can go and we can take up and use the blessings of God through the things that He has created. And that will lead us to the people. That will lead us to the people where that are lost. Salvation, an individual that has salvation, is what they call, and what I call, a love affair. A love affair is between who? You and the one that you love. Do I love that character that I got more than I do God? If I do, then I have a love affair with that car. Salvation, when I have salvation, and I have it truly. And it says in the Word of God that we need to work out our salvation. Now that does not mean that that it has given us the ability to work for salvation. We don't work for salvation. We work because of salvation. How many times, Peter, did the Lord say, Peter, how much you love me? Three times. And every time, he'd come back and he'd say, Peter, you love me more than you love the other things that you're doing. You love and what you're doing more than you love me.
Do you love me? If you love me, why ain't you out here feeding the people?
Why ain't you feeding the goats and all them out here that don't know me? Why ain't you out there spreading the word of God to where it will touch the heart? Then what does it say the second time?
He says, Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord comes back and says, well, why don't you feed my sheep? Why don't you feed them? Why don't you tell them about me? Why don't you help them and have concern for the soul?
We need to have concern for the individual soul. Yes, they have a soul just like I have, and just like you have. But their soul, if they're not saved, their soul is corrupt. And they're going to die the same way. They're going to die the same way that Satan is going to die. They're going to go to the same place that Satan himself, Lucifer, is going to be cast into unless they get saved. See, Lucifer, Satan, he can never get saved. Why? Because he sinned against God. He sinned against the Father, the Son, and he sinned against the Holy Spirit. And once you sin against the Holy Spirit, and once you deny the Holy Spirit, and you say, no, not me, you are nothing but a liar. Get out of my sight. I don't want to hear anything from you. Once you say that, there's no possibility. There's no hope for you.
There's not an individual out here. White, black, red, green, orange, it don't make no difference. They have the same color of blood that I have. The only difference between my blood
and the blood that they have man's corruptible blood. They have the blood that's been corrupt. But I have the Jewish blood running through my body. Why? Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. That's what runs through my body. And until we realize that, we will never get nowhere. I will never get nowhere. I did not ever get anywhere until I realize what I am doing. I'm not doing it for myself, but I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for the one that left heaven. And I'm doing it for them I hear. The ones that's lost. That's the reason that I surrendered the call to preach. That's the reason that I'm in church. That's the reason that I'm here. It's not because it's something that me, myself, I want to do. I'm being honest. I'm doing it because of what he done for me. Because of what he done for me. What did he do for me? He hung on the cross. I couldn't go to the cross. Even though right now he could come. Which in a few months, in Easter, on Easter Monday or Easter Sunday, whatever, We're going to be celebrating the risen Savior. It's what that Easter means to us. Which he's already risen. The stone has been removed. He's not there anymore. He's gone. Where's he gone to? He's gone back to heaven. Sitting there on the right hand of God the Father. Sitting there. Waiting for the Father's command. And he don't have to say it twice. The Father has to say it one time and one time only. See, we have to repeat things. We have to do it in repetition to where people will know what we're talking about. Not just at church, but in life itself. We have to repeat things for people to be able to listen and to understand why. Because the mind is at the point that it just rushes. Everything is hurry up. Hurry up. We even got it to the point now that where we can't even take time out to sit down at the kitchen table and say grace and eat a meal that has been prepared for us. No, what we'll do now, we will go out here and we're so busy that we'll go and we'll buy some at the store. So where all I have to do is open the door to the microwave and I can place it in there. And I can not turn it on for 20 seconds or 20 minutes or 30 minutes. I can turn it on for 2 or 3 seconds. We have some things at the house that we can put in there. In 30 seconds, be just as warm as it was if you cooked it on a stove. We're so busy. We don't have time with a family. That's the reason the family hasn't gotten the shape it's in, I believe. Because we done got so busy. We done got so busy to the point today that we don't even know what our children are doing. We got so wrapped up in life, we don't even know what our children is doing. I'm sad to say that I heard something my wife was telling, where they said they told me last night. I can't remember it, but they may have. But they told me today that my wife's niece, daughter, 10 years old, just turned 10 years old back in November. The 1st or the 2nd of November, when it was, I forgot exactly. But she had got a small laptop for Christmas. And the thing about it is, the school system is telling them that you need to get you something to where you can be able to get on and get your lessons from. You need to be able to get in there and you need to have a laptop. See, the schools now are furnishing the iPads for all the students. But see, the students can't carry them home. But what does the iPad do? The iPad don't do nothing but teach the child that the child needs a laptop, needs a computer.
said Santa Claus had bought her a laptop for Christmas, a little small one. I wish they had never done it. I wish she had never got it. I wish she had never got the little tablet that she got a couple years back. They don't know how to use it. Oh, yes, they can get on there and they can do anything that they want to. But they cannot use it the proper way. And this afternoon, while we was going home, my wife was telling me, my daughter also was telling us at the dinner table, that this 10-year-old had got on her laptop and had signed up on Facebook. And which you have to be 13 years old to sign up on Facebook. That is what one of their stipulations is. Which I think 13 is still too young because of what is on there. But I said to myself, here she is 10 years old and she's already learning how to lie, not only to her parents, but she also is learning how to lie to us, because she would not even let me go in and do anything and to see what she had got, what she has on there. Why? I don't know what's on there. That's right. It is illegal.
They can come and cut Kathy and Chris both off.
Yep. And not only that, I believe
she
that.
Did
I, yeah. I mean, and you know, and we hate to do it. But the next time she comes, we're gonna tell and we're gonna insist. She can come, but the laptop cannot come. She's got to stay at home. Because I do not want her to be in my house and under our care. And she sees some of this inappropriate stuff that even Facebook has. It's wrong. The parents has forgot about the kids. The parents has forgot about, why? Because their parents are so busy about what they want to do. Well, they wanted a child. And she wanted a child. And I do, and I thank the Lord for. I love that little child to death. But if you're going to have a child, take care of it. You just don't have a child just to have a child. You got to take care of it. That child comes first in your life. That child is supposed to be number one in your life. Why? Because you brought that child into this world. For what? Not for granddaddy. Not for grandma to look after and to tell them what's wrong and what's right. It's up to the parents to tell them what's wrong and what's right. And if they don't do that, then the parents, something wrong with them. I just don't understand it no more. I just don't understand things no more. I reckon I'm getting just too old. I reckon I'm getting too set in my ways, I reckon. Like some people said, I'm too sot in my ways. They don't understand the young people anymore. I don't understand the young people. I don't understand the parents of the young people. I really don't.
See, because I know what's coming down the road.
I know what's coming down the road for that child if the parents don't get something right. You don't need to go to the child and talk to the child about salvation and the way they need to live. That they need to always tell mom and daddy the truth. No, you need to go to the mom and daddy.
You need to
do what you can to get them saved. Get them involved in the local church. Then they can get the child involved in the local church. That's the way it's done. That's the way it's always has been. But now we got, I mean, I can have a 4-year-old come into my home. I can have a 4-year-old talk to me like I'm a dog. And I can't do nothing about it. Why? Because they know all they have to do is call 911. 911. And if they call 911, they don't know what they're getting life into. And they say, can we help you? Yeah. My mom and my daddy, they hollered at me. I mean, they talked to me like I done something really wrong and bad. They won't let me do anything. That is just the type of law of the land that we have today. Just because a child called, they've got to send out a social worker with the police. Hey, this day and time with people out of work, doesn't have a job. And everything that they going on in our life, they may not keep the cleanest house or the cleanest home that they need to. They might not have the right kind of food that social worker thinks that they need to have. If they don't have none of that, then what do? They'll say, the child's going to have to come with us tonight. And you're going to have to go to court next week. You can go to court, and then what do? They're going to say that before you can get the child back, the social worker has got to check up and make sure that you are abiding by what we tell you to abide by. Not by what God says. Not by what the Word of God says. But by what man says. I feel so sorry for the young people today. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not my wife's niece's daughter's fault that she's got on the internet and actually took the computer and signed up for Facebook. Now, I'll be honest with you. Here I am. I'm 66 years old. When I was 63 years old, and I've been working, been used to a computer for a pretty good while. I had to get my daughter to come sign me up on Facebook. Well, she's above 13. She was in her 30s. But she had, I didn't even know how to do it. But a 10-year-old knows how to do that. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. It really is. It just bothers me. It burdens me, Dan. Because I have no idea what the next thing I'm going to see. At this point, nothing's going to surprise me. We need to pray for children. We need to pray for the children from the time of the birth till they get up to the point that they are out of our house and they done got married. Because when two people, when they get married, that's a symbol that they are getting married to the point that they're going to leave the nest. They're going to leave home. But today, they won't even do that. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, that we can look at the kind of wife, Father, that you want us to be. Not just the men, but Father, the ladies. For each and every Christian, what we need to be for you. Lord Jesus, I know, Father, here in the last few minutes I've done nothing but ramble. But Father, I believe I said what you wanted me to say. I believe that, Father. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with the children. Father, that you would just touch them in a special way. Lord, that you'll speak to them. And Father, that you'll speak to them in a way that it will not scare them. Will not put fear in them. But Father, the way that they can maybe be able to go to their parents and say, Mama, Daddy, I don't know what just happened. But something spoke to me that I've never heard before. We know, Father, that you can do that through the Holy Spirit. Father, I know that there's no age limit on your salvation. We do thank you for that. And Father, we pray for all the children today that are saved. And Father's not in church. Father, we even pray for the parents. Father, where the child is saved, but the parents are not. Father, we pray that the parents will maybe see something in that child that they can say to themselves, and they just not talk it out or blurt it out, that they can just say to themselves, you know, before they got a little upset, before they would get mad, but now they're not getting upset when we come or when we try to correct them. Father, we pray, the Lord Jesus, that the mother and the father will sense that and sense that the child knows something more than what they know. And they can ask the child about it, Father. They can ask the child about, why have you changed? Why are you doing some of the things that you're doing now that you did not do before? They can say, Mama, Daddy, you remember when I come to you? And I heard something that spoke to me that has never spoke to me like it before. Oh, Father, yes. Lord Jesus, that their parents can understand that they have, that she had heard from the Master. They have heard from the Messiah. They've heard from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yes, that they need to get saved. Father, we pray for them all. We pray for the family, Father, that they'll unite back together, Father, that they can be a family. They can be a family where they want to get in church. They want to get in church as a family. And they can be united together like they've never been before. Lord Jesus, my prayer is that each one of us can be that type of wife or that kind of wife that Christ, our Lord and our Savior, wants us to be to Him. Father, help us that we may have a better attitude. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow. And this week, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the people. Thank you, Father, for the ones that you're going to speak to about coming and visiting. Father, my prayer is that Wednesday night we may have someone that may want to just come in and just come in and see what's it all about. And Father, next Sunday, Lord, that we can have some more people to come in. Father, yes, Lord Jesus, I would love to see someone come in and Father, and walk the aisle and ask Jesus Christ to save our soul. And yes, Father, I would love for the Baptist to be used. I want to be used of you, Father. I want to be used in a way that I've never been used before. Lord, help us all that we can see souls saved. We can see lives regenerated. That revival fires can start burning. Within our soul, like it does the weeks that we do have revival. Father, that it may start tonight, Lord, with me. Father, if it does not start with me, Lord, then I cannot blame you. I cannot go and say something else to someone else. It has to start with me. It has to start with us. Father, we do thank you. And we love you because you once loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.